This is episode 22 of Insert Credit, our second YouTube live stream. So if you're only listening to this through iTunes, make sure you stop by next week by joining for our Facebook group. I'm Alex Jaffe, and there's hashtag 3 reasons why you should be listening to this show. Game Genie, Frank Cifaldi.
Hello!
Game Shark, Tim Rogers.
That's a me!
And N64 Passport, Brendan Sheffield.
Why? Couldn't I be like the Saturn Netlink at least?
If you are listening to the live stream, you can leave your comments in the chat window, and any questions you have, we'll get to answering them in a special bonus segment after the show, exclusive to the live stream. You're not going to hear it in the iTunes. You're going to have to join us live in order to hear that segment. Moving right along, Brandon, you were last week's winner of the end of episode lightning round competition, the events or credit, as it were, and you had to give us homework. What is our assignment for this week?
Alright, so yeah, I'm going to ask y'all a question, and that question is as follows. So, well, I was, just as a little preamble, I was playing some Alundra, and I was noting that I hate the brain puzzles in those things.
Oh, because your brain is not big enough?
Yeah, it's just not big enough.
What's your hat size, Brandon? What's your hat size, do you know?
Like about 50, 12.
No, you don't know what it is, do you?
I sure don't.
You've never been fitted for a baseball cap, have you?
No. I don't know no baseball. Oh, man. Man, Kamari's going to keep joining and unjoining.
Yeah, so...
making that dinging sound.
Brain puzzles? I just locked him.
Okay, so anyway, here's the question. Which RPG puzzles have you particularly actually enjoyed?
Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals for the Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, known as Astopolis 2, has the best puzzles.
What kind of puzzle was it? I mean,
they're like Alundra's puzzles, but they're snappier. They're just really snappy. And you're moving, like, there's no random encounters in the dungeons. You're moving around, right? And the enemies, like, every time you take a step, the enemies take a step. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, fire an arrow, but only if you have a clear line of sight. It's kind of got the mysterious dungeon elements to it, but puzzles. And if you touch the enemies, you enter a little random battle. And the puzzles are just fantastic.
That's cool.
As I wrote on an article on Insert Credit, that's, like, the only Super Nintendo game that I would recommend Brandon Sheffield play.
All right, maybe way. I'll give it a shoot-see, because in Alundra, they've got this bit where there are five, you know, old saints or something that you have to talk to, and they're talking about a certain order of importance that they have, and you have to determine that, and it's really kind of annoying, and you just have to, I don't know, you have to write it all down and stuff. I just don't like it. I prefer, like, exploration-based puzzles.
I don't like those sorts of puzzles. And I don't like, sometimes the RPGs, the really bad ones, the only type of puzzle they have is the teleporter maze puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Teleporter maze puzzle is the worst thing you can put in a video game, period.
It's a terrible puzzle, that puzzle.
It's like, remember this stupid arbitrary order that these teleporters go in.
That game Pure Solar, which is the new Genesis RPG that was made, I don't know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, they have one puzzle element which requires you to... You're on a series of rotating platforms, which already is not a huge... not a thing I'm a huge fan of. But one of the required things you have to do is hit a button on the back of a pillar as you're going by it on a moving platform, and there's just no indication that that's the one thing you need to do to advance. And
wait, there is no hints or anything? It's just you have to...
Nah.
And is there a point in the game where hitting the back of a pillar does anything?
No, not before that. So, you know, I asked on... I looked up on some forums and people are like, "Oh, it's an old school RPG, man. Don't spoil it. Don't tell anybody. Part of the fun is discovering it for yourself." And then eventually they give that hint and they're like, "I really think you should have done it yourself, though."
It's like, you know what I love? I love when there's a locked door in some town, and every single time you get a new key in the game, you have to remember that door exists and make sure that's the key that works. And it turns out it's not. And you have to keep going back every single time throughout the entire game. That's a pretty fun little puzzle.
Is that a puzzle? I guess it's technically a puzzle.
That's every Dragon Quest game.
Yeah, sure is.
Well.
I'm honestly coming up blank, and I apologize. I'm a terrible podcaster.
You can F minus Frank.
Yeah.
For Frank. Frank F minus Cifaldi.
So did I win this week's challenge?
No! Anyway, here's what you can do. I'm going to throw a whole bunch of questions at you. You get 6 minutes for each. If you go over, I'll play a noise and we move on. At the end, we'll tie it all up with a fun lightning round. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, then.
Why don't fighting game spin-offs ever really work?
So we're talking Sub-Zero game.
Yeah. Or are you talking like fighting game spin-offs of fighting games? I guess both, right? Because neither of those ever work. I mean, the reason that the sort of like Mortal Kombat mythologies of fighting game spin-offs don't work is because it was a fighting game to begin with. The only appeal of Mortal Kombat was the fighting game part of it. It wasn't the backstory necessarily. So when you assume that your audience wants more of the characters and scenarios or whatever without the fighting game part of it, then you're kind of fooling yourself.
That's a lot of typing I'm hearing right there. Someone's having a real good time.
Yeah, Tim just rejoined us. I'm telling him what the question is in the chat.
Oh, what is the question?
Way to call attention to it, Brandon, like a total non-pro.
Well, it's impossible to not hear all of those typey-types.
Yeah, it's very loud.
Your microphone picks up a lot of external noise. Hmm. Man, I didn't even... What the heck, man? Like, it told me the Hangout had ended, and everyone was kicked out.
The more time you spend talking about the Hangout, the less time you'll have to talk about why fighting game spin-offs don't work out.
Okay, well, if somebody gets kicked out again, let me know on like the chat. Okay.
All right.
Have there been any spin-offs of Shaq Fu? I can't think of any other things that Shaq could possibly have been in.
What, Shaq?
All he can do is fight.
All he can do is fight and do kung fu and have set jump lengths.
But I mean, if that's a good example, if there were a Shaq Fu spin-off starring Shaq doing anything but
Shaq Fu.
Yeah,
that would,
like,
that
who would
be,
care?
Yeah, nobody
so wait,
would care.
So wait, what is a fighting game spin-off?
I'm thinking like Sub-Zero, like Death by Degrees, like Soul
okay, first
Calibur
of all,
Legends.
Sub-Zero's game didn't work out because it was made by idiots, and Death by Degrees didn't work out because it was made by rubes.
Rubes.
Because Namco, more like Scamco. Man, did you ever play that Death by Degrees game? It was one of the worst things I've ever played in my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. What dude?
The dude that's now producer of the Tales series, the lead producer of the Tales series. His first game was Death by Degrees. So there you go.
What did he do on it?
That I do not know. I think he was probably a designer on it, I think.
Coffee boy? Is that what he was? He was probably coffee boy.
Probably just coughing.
Like, yeah, probably just coughing because of all the cigarette smoke. That was a game fueled by cigarettes, much like Halo is fueled by dew or artisanal Seattle coffee or whatever. Like
Doritos.
Death by Degrees and Doritos, yeah. I was going to get to those. Death by Degrees was a game made by...
Death by Degrees.
But Death by Degrees was made by goddarn cigarettes. It's just compact cigarette smoke in a DVD-R drive.
What was the name of that Game Gear spinoff of Eternal Champions that had the Chicago detective guy out on his own solo detective adventure?
That was called A Game Everyone Hates and or A Game No One Would Ever Play.
But this
wasn't the name of it, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I played it.
Okay, maybe you're right.
My point is that every time there's a spin-off of a fighting game, it's not any good, and why is that?
On the molecular level, characters in fighting games suck, right? So, like, a spin-off based on a fighting game... Character. Now, I'm talking character in the literary sense. I'm not saying that Ryu's not cool, because he is. He's got those huge forearms and all. But the characters are just these kind of sketches of people, these broad sketches with stereotypes or tropes or whatever. And that it's a game where you've got an artist designing like 25 characters instead of just one or two. One of those guys can't carry a whole game, you know? It's like if you were to make a video game about Guile, it would be like, what does he do? He runs in front of airplanes and waves American flags, you know?
No, he'd be a soldier, dude. He'd be a soldier, and he'd be on the front line saving our great nation.
It would be very easy to get. It would be very easy to get a headshot on Guile if it were an FPS.
More like a hair shot, though.
His hair shot. He'd have like a Swiss cheese on his head.
Well, yeah, the bullet would just go straight into his hair, and he'd survive.
He could be like, would he have like an attack where you like press a button to wave your head around to like catch the bullets out of the air? That would actually be pretty cool.
This is sounding more and more like Bayonetta.
So the reason why fighting game spinoffs don't work is because they presume that we care about the characters in fighting games on a literature appreciation level, where I don't really think fundamentally anyone actually ever sits down and begins that thought process.
And no one's ever like deconstructed Chun-Li as a character.
That's
the problem with Tim's argument. Why would they bother making a Chun-Li movie if nobody did that?
Well, because they presume that we do.
Yeah, I think, you know, they see cosplayers and then they're like, man, people were really engaged with this stuff. But I think they're more engaged with the property, and that's just kind of, you know, that's the result of that.
You can't take the characters out of Street Fighter. Street Fighter's just a compelling game by itself.
The one time that I found a fighting game spinoff to be compelling was, it wasn't really... it wasn't really a proper spinoff. There are a bunch of Battle Arena Toshinden puzzle games, but also Street Fighter Puzzle 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
That's different though.
The answer: puzzle games.
You can take characters out of the Street Fighter, but you can't take Street Fighter out of the characters.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Can a smartphone GPS be used as a game mechanic?
It has. Of course. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Next question.
I don't think that's. Wait. What? What do you mean?
How would you utilize that?
Like those.
Okay. As a game mechanic, when you have a GPS in Grand Theft Auto 4.
No, the GPS on your actual phone.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been used, you know, to run routes in create maps in game worlds, or to, you know, there was a dude that was doing something about driving past certain landmarks, and you would get things like prizes for that in the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of games like that, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been making those. I remember they were making those in Japan back in the late 90s or so. With phones.
Really?
I just had this great idea for, like, I think a lot of the implementation of GPS and stuff into games is really rubish, you know? I mean, no offense to rubes. but I have, like, okay, how about this? There's a Farmville-style social game, right? And there's a Facebook or an app for your phone where, like, at random times, let's say in 1 hour you could earn 100 coins if you played it in your browser, right? But then every once in a while it will send a push notification to your phone that's like, we'll give you 2,000 coins if you move 0.3 miles in the next 30 minutes from your current location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe you're in your office. You're like, oh, I can't do that. And you'll just be like, even by not engaging, quote unquote, with the mechanic, it'll be there. It'll be like, man, if I would have just gotten out of my office building and walked 3 blocks, I would have made 1,000 coins in this Facebook game.
Huh.
I probably shouldn't be talking about this online because it's such a great idea.
I'm already ripping
the heck out of it.
Yeah, I'm stealing it right now.
That's the sort of thing I get paid for, believe it or not.
But how would you contextualize that in the game?
You don't have to.
You can contextualize anything if you want to. I mean, you can make it. You can make a friggin' game about Sub-Zero.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you can't make a good game about Sub-Zero. As
I can
just
do it.
Established.
I can. Yeah.
I could.
Don't tell me
it's
what I can't do.
A game about freezing dudes and making them blow up. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And you can freeze them. You can freeze them and make platforms.
Out their spines.
You
that battle is yours to lose, really.
You just rip off like the,
you use the right analog stick to like swing around like one of those like hand catapult thing, rock things, and then you let go like a slingshot, and that's how you throw ice balls. So you're like swinging around on the analog stick. See this?
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you like pop it in a direction.
Oh yeah.
Pop but it in I, re- direction. I really want to. I want to do that Metroid thing where you freeze enemies and then jump on them.
Oh yeah. Sure.
I'm fine with it. I'll allow that.
The cool thing about Sub-Zero is you can freeze stuff, but like the stuff also freezes in the air. It doesn't fall. So yeah. he can also delete the concept of gravity from things. That's kind of cool.
Actually, I have a question about Sub-Zero. So Scorpion has a skull face. Reptile has a reptile face. What kind of a face does Sub-Zero have?
Sub-Zero is a regular human man.
Yeah, because Scorpion is dead.
Have you
fiction.
Not played Mortal Kombat 3? Or he's not wearing a mask?
I sure did not pay any attention to the character stuff.
The Mortal Kombat canon. What is their relation to Noob Saibot?
Noob Saibot is just a jerk.
All right.
That's Boone and Tobias spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Those are the two. Anyway, we were talking about GPSs.
Yes, we were talking about GPS before.
Yeah, doesn't Google have a game based on their Google Maps thing going on right now?
Well, you can fly around in Google Earth, and you can go look at the Parthenon or whatever.
Yeah, there's some ARG game. There's some ARG game that they recently launched though, that Google itself launched. I don't remember what it's called.
There's a game some friends of mine play that randomly selects a position on Google Street Maps anywhere in the world. And from there, you need to navigate yourself to the nearest airport so you can go home.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And Frank, I presume ARG game stands for Alternate Reality Game, right?
Yep.
Yes.
LOL!
All right. Just checking.
Yep.
ARG, it's like, are those pirate games?
ARG.
Yeah, I'm pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
That's a good old time.
Yeah, I like a GOT.
You're ready for prime time, Tim.
I think we answered that question.
Yeah, let's move on.
We answered it pretty hard. Let's move on.
Yeah, my answer is the best, but let's go.
Is there any good reason to keep making rail shooters?
Yeah, I think rail shooters are a good genre of video
game. Yes, because I hate rails.
Yeah, a rail shooter is an FPS that has a rail gun in it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what a rail shooter is. No, it's not a rail shooter.
Did you guys ever see that movie Eraser starring Arnold Schwarzenegger? Where he's
no, I don't think so.
You never see it?
Uh-uh.
It's got Arnold in it. You haven't seen a movie with Arnold? What are you, a jerk?
I guess.
So probably, it's got there's a part where he fires a rail gun, which fires bullets at the speed of light.
That's
pretty cool.
That's what they do. Yeah.
I'll play that game.
That's not what a rail shooter is, though.
No, I think there are plenty of reasons to make rail shooters, because I don't think that Panzer Dragoon's concepts have been fully realized to my satisfaction. And, you know, Rez is a really simple game that is mostly notable for its sound and graphics, but it's also kind of fun. And I think that
Panzer Dragoon is more fun than Rez.
That's absolutely true. If you did a little more with the mechanic, like shooting certain things got different results or different paths or got you to do different stuff, then it would be pretty neat. You could get a lot of kind of weird emergent things happening in there. If you made a rail shooter and assigned it some rules that could change the world, and you know, you could make it. It's pretty easy to randomly procedurally generate caves now, and you could just do all kinds of stuff combining those things.
And the rails would be pretty easy to procedurally generate as well. Like, if you can procedurally generate a cave. I think I was playing Halo 4, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. I played a video game. I tell you what, it was basically like 5 minutes before, I got lost in it because everything looks the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One great thing about Panzer Dragoon, never get lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that, like, to me, like, a Call of Duty game is basically a rail shooter, and I don't mean
a rail
that.
Shooter where you can get lost.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but it's like a Call of Duty game, in single player at least for me, is like like a Disneyland ride.
I know, it's like a theme park ride. Yeah.
And then that's fine, but like that to me, that's still basically a rail shooter. But you're allowed to kind of go left and right instead of just forward.
Yeah, moving around is boring. I don't need to be able to move. I don't need to be able to move my guy around. I like the context of it. Panzer Dragoon is just like a perfect video game. Panzer Dragoon, yeah. 2 especially.
Yep, it's really good.
Notice I just called it Panzer Dragoon 2 instead of Panzer Dragoon's Zwei.
Yeah,
the original box art for the U.S. actually was with Panzer Dragoon 2. It had a big old 2 on it.
Man, and then a diehard game fan was repeatedly calling it Panzer Dragoon 2 Zwei. Because so I don't know if any of you guys ever recognized this, but on actionbutton.net, we write the game title exactly as it appears on the box.
Yeah.
So Call of Duty 4 is Call of Duty to the Fourth Power, Modern mm-hmm. Warfare. That's how I wrote it out.
Hey, have you ever heard anyone in a GameStop call Grand Theft Auto 4 Grand Theft Auto IV?
Oh, no, man. Is that a thing that someone does?
Yeah, that's a thing I hear all the time.
Must
that's
be awesome. At East Coast. That is really awesome.
Where do you hear that all the time?
At the GameStop.
Yeah, he hangs out there. He's going to do his homework.
I forgot. Yeah.
I'm kind of the Norm Peterson.
Yeah.
So, to conclude, I think that rail shooters are real cool, potentially, and should do more stuff with them. Like, if you look there's at what so Panzer Dragoon Saga did, they basically took the rail shooter segment and made that the battle sequence mm-hmm. for their RPG. That works great. Like, you could do that in another RPG, and it would be fantastic. Just have essentially a rail shooter battle sequence that would be fun every time instead of a slog.
Fun every time. F-E-G. Yeah. I think that if you were to kind of retcon modern FPS mechanics like Halo, stuff that feels really satisfying, into a Panzer Dragoon game, that you could like, or that style of game. I mean,
yeah.
God, the way the bullets don't feel like, the gun doesn't feel like a physical object so much in Panzer Dragoon 2. Like, it would be kind of neat to make a Panzer Dragoon style game where the gun feels really fantastic.
I agree. Like,
I mean, why the heck not? So I don't see why. And I mean, it's a perfect storytelling sort of venue to make one of these rail shooters. And Panzer Dragoon 2, I think, does story way better than a lot of other games that tried a lot harder.
Yeah.
Just you know what I think they should do?
They had really good universe design is the thing.
It's all happening, yeah. Everything's just happening around you. It's like, here you are.
Yeah.
Love that game.
I think somebody should make a licensed Black Sabbath rail shooter, and then halfway through it becomes an FPS because you're going off the rails.
Nice. Oh, man. That was a Labor Day joke right there.
Yeah.
Is it Labor Day already?
So did any of y'all play that Sin and Punishment on the Wii? I didn't
play.
Oh,
yeah.
I played the goddarn out of it.
Yeah?
That's the end.
I played it at E3. I wasn't very good at it.
Yes, I played it for... Wait, no, maybe I didn't actually play it. I think I waited in line behind someone who was just kind of taken forever, and then I never got to play it. And then I was
so let me just ask you a... I was going to ask you a series of questions. It was
you don't get to ask those.
All right, let's go. Move on. Let's not talk about the rules. Let's just do it.
How would you redraft ESRB policy?
What is the ESRB policy? They put people in a room with the game for 20 minutes? And
well, no. So nowadays, they don't actually have to play through all of them. They just play through some of the things that they think might be controversial or something like that.
Well, hang on. I don't think they ever required playable code. I think the only requirement ever was video.
Yeah. But now you can do it all online. You don't have to like send in a VHS tape like you used to have to.
I'd like to believe you still do, but you're probably right.
No, I talked to the president somewhat recently about that. And
Obama?
Yeah. Obama, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
So you're saying you want the ESRB to be run like Twin Galaxies?
Yeah, that'd be cool. No, it is basically. You do submit video on the website, and then you tick a bunch of boxes, and it's a lot easier now. And they're also trying to integrate it so that you can submit once, and they'll also coordinate with Peggy and Sero so that you can get all your ratings in one stop. So I think that's actually pretty cool. But if you mean their policy of how they of what they call the ratings of games, then I don't know. I guess those R ratings and things and PG-13 might be more understandable for people than what we have now. But I don't think what we have now is that confusing either. I don't know. What do y'all think?
I don't think anyone's really had a problem with it, right? I mean, has anyone really been confused by the ratings?
That's a cogent point, Frank's cat.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the detractors of video game violence haven't particularly argued against or about the rating system being bad. They haven't taken that to task. They just think that violent video games are turning our kids into preverts, and that's it. Like, no matter
Realistically, it's one of the better independent rating systems in entertainment, right?
Yeah, especially considering it's self-submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true that
it's voluntary. Yeah.
Retail stores won't put you up there if you don't do it, but retail stores matter less and less. So, you know, like on Steam, I don't think you have to get rated. And certainly like on Newgrounds or whatever, you don't have to get rated, and not on the App Store. So I think that what they're doing now to try to make the, you know, ratings easier to get is actually pretty good, because maybe people will just rate their stuff for, you know, maybe Angry Birds will get a rating just because they think, why the heck not? We might as well. It's so easy.
Cartoon mischief.
I recently got a game ESRB rated. It took about 30 seconds. I just said my game is an abstract game with geometrical shapes in it.
Open a little Coke there. Get a little Coke time.
Bricks.
Coke. So I was going to say that I was once writing for Electronic Arts, had like a format that they needed something filled out in. Like, they're like, can you just fill out all this information on this sheet, right? And it was very little information on a game that was in development. And under rating, I wrote M, right? I said, this game will be rated. I said, what game do you, what rating do you expect the game to have? And I just put M on there. And then the director of the game looked over it, and he was a Japanese guy. So he goes, are we sure we want this game to be rated M? Are we sure? And I'm like, he's like, you can't actually say that our game's going to be rated M. I'm like, is your grandma going to play this game? Right? And then he's like, well, I just say that we can't make a decision. Yeah, just put a question mark there. I'm like, we've discussed this game about how it's going to have, you know, you can shoot people in the face and there's going to be blood and stuff. I think it's going to be rated M. And then it was like, we can't say that.
And well, I'm like, if it was for EA, you should have told them. It is in the game.
It's in the game. It's all in the game.
Man.
I'm bad at jokes today.
I'm going to go have a cry nap.
Don't look at me!
So yeah, I just think that it was it's really easy to just choose what rating you're going to have. And I mean, it doesn't seem real difficult at all to... It doesn't seem like there's anybody to be surprised by what rating their game.
Well, is there ever really a question of what rating a game will get? Is there ever a surprise there, like, oh, we got an M?
I guess
never should be.
I get like there is the thing that you hear about where you know people are getting an M for a reason that they don't quite agree with, and they're like, we have to get a T for teen according to the publisher. So
right.
Now we have to take out this amount of blood, and then it can be a T game.
Oh, here's an actual thing that would help: cooperation between all the different international rating sports. Because
that's what I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Japanese one's terrible. Like,
I did just talk about that though.
The Dead or Alive games get rated the most adult classification possible because for sexuality, whereas the Ninja Gaiden games don't. They get rated lower. Whereas the Ninja Gaiden games have extreme gore and blood and violence and limbs getting cut off, and the Dead or Alive games just have breasts.
Yeah.
And apparently breasts are worth the the pornography classification.
Breasts are worth everything.
Breasts are worth the pornography classification.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Hey, that's us.
What?
In reference to video games, when is it acceptable to use the word epic?
Never.
Never. Never.
Oh, actually,
when they're
true.
Made by Gears of War, yeah. Maker epic.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. That's the only time, really. Otherwise,
I think it's the only time that anything can be described as epic anymore. That word is that word's on timeout. It's on timeout.
That word is poison.
5 years.
That word is definitely sitting in the corner, staring at the wall until further notice, until such time as it can behave itself in company, in front of company.
I think I actually own the domain epicuprising.com.
Do you?
Yeah,
because you probably the word epic for $10,000 right now.
And uprising were being used in like a million things.
Oh man,
I'm pretty sure I am.
I think. I mean, it probably jumped the shark years ago, but my real defining moment was Epic Mickey.
Yeah. That's so a case of something that sounds like a goddarn code name ending up.
I am almost positive it was the code name, and they just got so used to it, and they're just like, fine. I mean, it's a good. Sort of quick two-word pitch of the kind of game they were going for.
Right? Mickey, it's epic.
Yeah, Epic Mickey.
Snakes on a plane's itis.
It's more epic than Mickey, though.
Why they thought... No, I disagree with that if you play the game. It's just Mickey.
Epic. Yeah, it is pretty much just Mickey.
It was... for me, it was just when people started saying epic win about everything and anything. I just didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. But there wasn't really a defining moment of that for me, though.
What's the difference between an epic win and a regular win?
One is said by a douche, and the other one is just a guy winning something. Or possibly a lady.
I think the word using the word win by itself is like the worst thing. I like to imagine every time I see someone type that, or like someone has typed that in a Facebook comment, I like to look at the picture of their face, and then I like to imagine that the second they pressed enter, like... a firefighter with a fire hose just materialized in front of them and collapsed out of their chair.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a friend named Wynn that they want to alert to the post. Hey, Wynn, come check this out.
No, I don't think
they're
that's
all just
true.
Really big fans of Windows computing.
Yeah. So the word...
They're trying to type WinWord.
I mean, because the word epic actually means something, and it's one of those words.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah, but not anymore. It was used so much it doesn't mean...
Ruined.
Not darn thing anymore.
Well, then, what video games are epic in the classical sense of the word, if any?
Final Fantasy VI is kind of epic.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
I always characters in that big long story.
Yeah,
Dragon
I always
Quest
thought
V.
of the Zelda games as feeling epic.
All right,
Panzer Dragoon Saga, I would say.
Yeah,
Panzer Dragoon Zwei feels sort of epic.
Yeah, sure.
I just called it Zwei instead of two. Panzer Dragoon Two Zwei.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're gonna say that it's epic. Reader. If you're going to say it's epic, you should probably say Svi.
Yeah, because that sounds... Yeah, I should be cool.
Nothing that's a 2 is epic, ever, that's as a rule.
What about Epic Mickey 2?
No, absolutely not.
Is it actually called Epic Mickey 2?
I feel like I think it's called Epic Mickey The Power of 2?
It's available, by the way, on the Wii U.
Which you can purchase right now from Tim's home.
$400. Oakland, California. We'll be fielding offers in the post show. We'll be talking about that.
Someone in the comments, by the way, was offering a really nice old pro broadcast monitor, very similar to this one here.
Okay,
that's my friend Dirk.
I want it.
I had to look it up, but the full title of the game. I had to look it up, but the full title of the game is Disney Epic Mickey 2: The Power of 2.
Wow,
that's actually what it's called, right? Is the two raised?
No, it is not.
That's a joke. I was joking about that.
Yes, I got
that it. That was a pretty good one, by the way.
It was okay.
I didn't actually play Epic Mickey. I looked at it and I was like, it looks kind of like a Zelda game that they would make you play at school.
I played it a little bit, and that I wouldn't say that. I mean, it has no educational value, so that's not really accurate. It's
not a lot of school doesn't have an educational
value. That's true. But the game is a game about just. Following instructions, like it's a game that just like the worst parts of Grand Theft Auto that are like, go to that car, now open the car's door, now drive the car to this location, now go in the build, like that's the entire game.
Now get in this next car.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a fun time.
Yeah, it looks like it was a lot of, what do you call it? You know the board game Perfection?
Mm-hmm.
I like using this as an
Pop
example.
Pop Goes.
Yeah, Pop Goes the Perfection. Yeah, Pop Goes Perfection. There's like a little triangle peg, and you put it in the triangle hole, but you got to get them all in there before you can turn the timer off, right?
Yeah.
Like you got to get all the pegs in, then you turn the timer off, and you've won. You're not allowed to turn the timer off unless you put all the pegs in. So it's like you have to enforce the conditions of the game yourself, and it's like if you're playing with somebody else, it's like you're cooperating, but one of you could be a stickler and be like, we're not turning this off. We're going to turn this back on. We're not going to turn this thing off. We're going to leave it on until we do it. And it's like, how many times can you play that game before you just memorize?
Right.
Anyway, any game that feels like that to me is not epic. So they should call the game goddarn Mickey.
The version of that Perfection game that I had was purchased at a thrift store, and thus did not have all of the pieces. And
so you would pop it every time.
Yeah, I would say Epic Mickey is kind of like that. Not all the pieces for the fun that you're supposed to force yourself to are there.
Oh, is that New Adventure Islands back there?
No, that's sorry.
Shin Bokenjima?
Yeah, but no. Our listeners can't see that. So
I am a little disappointed we got through that entire thing without addressing Kirby's epic yarn, but let's move on.
That game ain't epic at all. They should. Right. You know what's more epic than Kirby's Epic Yarn is Shin Bokenjima, New Adventure Island. Should have been called Epic Adventure Island.
More like epic Kirby's Island. Epic Yawn.
Wonderful! Excellent!
Which non-video game related professionals would make the best transition into game design?
Oh, heck
Barack
yeah.
Obama. That's a joke.
I'm not saying specific people. I'm saying, like, would firefighters make good game designers?
Comedians would, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Writing in games only really works if it's comedy writing. I've kind of recently figured out, like, any attempt at serious writing.
I don't know if I agree.
I don't know about the only, but I agree, sort of.
Okay, for the most part, writing falls apart in a game unless it's at least partially humorous. In most cases, but I agree that it can't.
You obviously haven't played Gears of War 2.
You're right. I mean, that...
the emotional core of the game.
I think Deadly Premonition does an okay job, and it has some humorous moments, but the humor is not the drive.
Yeah, and it's also... I mean, is the writing good in that, or is it the storytelling that's good? Like, I would,
what's
I would argue
good
the
about Deadly Premonition is if you're an ironic jerk...
No, it's really not an ironic thing for either.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
By the way, viewers at home, Brandon is wearing a Deadly Premonition t-shirt right now.
Yeah, dog. Hurry to Harry.
But anyway, comedians or comedy writers would be good game designers because I think games are at their best when they recognize that they're video games.
I think designing a joke, writing a joke is kind of an element of... It kind of requires some sort of design sensitivity.
Are we talking about game designers specifically, or can they be some other element? Because, like, I think some architects would make some fantastic level designers, for sure.
I always thought the people who wrote the crossword puzzles would make a good transition into video games.
Why?
Because that takes a lot of intelligence to put together that kind of complex layout with all those words interlocking in the exact way.
I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, designing a crossword puzzle is game design. Making a crossword puzzle is designing a game. In a respect that, like, beyond any FPS, if you were to analyze it on just like a raw mathematical level, like the complexity of the system of a crossword puzzle is about the same as an FPS, and people are jerks if they don't agree, or they're just ignorant.
Maybe some champion chess players would be pretty good at making big games.
Or like strategy game design or something.
Yeah.
I agree with Jaffe that a good map level designer sort of guy would be a crossword editor.
Yeah, crossword editors are pretty cool people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah.
What about other professions is what I was going
to say. I'll tell you what, who has proved time and time again that they don't make good game designers. Here's two. One, your general popular sportsman.
Okay.
Does not have good game design ideas.
John, what about John Madden?
Number two. Okay, not John Madden is the exception, because he has good ideas there. And then the other one is musicians. They have tended to do some terrible jobs. Frank, tell the story about the New Kids on the Block, because you probably remember it better than me.
OTB.
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't remember any of the specific input they had, which is what you might.
Well, it was that canceled game, right?
Yeah. Okay. So there was an NES game about New Kids on the Block that was being done by Imagineering, which was the internal dev group for Absolute, and the designer was David Crane, the Pitfall guy.
That guy's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Game didn't come out. Never actually got started beyond some concept stuff, but the New Kids themselves really wanted to be involved because Nintendo was really cool and they were young and stuff. So David Crane actually had meetings with the entire band, which he described as sort of slouching around and giving really awful ideas that he kind of had to nod and agree with.
I want to be chasing cheeseburgers. Stuff like that. And then I, like, keep falling down for, like, no reason.
What if my shoes were, like, huge?
And then there's, like, this big cosmic doob that I've just got to smoke.
Doob.
NKOTV, quest for the cosmic doob.
You know who else I think cosmic might be round. Good at designing video games is, like, someone that has spent many years stocking shelves at Walmart or something like that, because they probably had so much time to think. Yeah. I mean, maybe
what about guys who work at parking lots in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, man. Sure. That's some real logistics right there.
The kinds of games they think about might be limited in scope. They're not going to make a whole bunch of fantastic games, but they might make one pretty cool game that you haven't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think some of those guys at Zynga might be pretty good at making video games.
Yeah, if they just tried and applied
if
themselves.
They actually made a video game, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good joke, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah,
I enjoyed that
joke.
I thought it was funny.
I'm going to give it a 7.75.
Farmville 2 is pretty great. I was going to say, right before we get back to, before we finish this, Brandon said something about architects being good level designers. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think architects could be good consultants for maintaining the naturalism of an environment, but architect doesn't like exactly translate to level design. Like
no, but so, oh man, you get the last word on that.
If you've got a good follow up, I'll give you my one up on this.
Yeah, I'd like to continue that just briefly.
I'll be okay.
Okay,
you guys get the one up.
Let's one up.
I was
going to
say that I would say at least 75% of level design. I wasn't done. At
Go
least
ahead.
75% of quote unquote level design is choosing what happens in the level, where the stuff goes, where the enemy encounters happen, where cover points are in Gears of War, where climbing points are in Uncharted.
Like
it's not just about. There's more of a, I would say, a movie screenwriter would make a good level design.
So the reason I'm going to say that you might be giving architects a short shrift there is because, you know, I've worked in an architectural firm, and they are supposed to design a space to be moved through. They're supposed to design how
to be
people
moved
will filter
easily.
Through in this space in an effective way. But they can also say, like, here is a potential choke point, and this, in my experience, has been a thing that people get hung up on, and they can use that information, the information from real humans moving to
inform what they're doing. Good architects know what bad architecture is, and I think knowing what good and bad is could kind of make you into maybe not like a lead level designer or anything, but someone who could contribute a lot to a team.
Yeah,
well, as I said,
consultants to aid in the naturalism of a level. But I think a screenwriter would be a better overall level designer.
I don't know,
it's
man.
About the situation.
I don't think John Milius could do it.
The ride.
A well-spent one-up minute.
Hooray.
It's about the ride.
How will the impending Mayan apocalypse affect the video game industry?
Well, we'll all be dead.
It's going to kill everybody. It'll,
so it's going to be hard to
but
play.
But how will it affect video games specifically?
I think we should all play Pitfall the Mayan Adventure so that we mm-hmm. can
prepare.
So be prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I heard if we all beat the game at the same time, we actually prevent the apocalypse.
Perfect. Oh, really?
Guess we got to do that. Lol, Earth.
I mean, it'd be really hard. You got to get it at the exact same moment. It has to be specifically the three of us. Not you,
but
Jeff, you don't care.
Okay.
So have just you guys ever played that game?
Because I was worried for a second because, you know, like in the UK, aren't they playing it at a different speed?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, we have to hit the ending screen at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're playing the PAL ROM.
That's a lot of logistics there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about no logistics, guys.
Okay.
So you guys listening to this stream afterwards are not noticing that I just put on Pitfall the Mayan Adventure because I'm that quick.
That's pretty cool.
Playing behind me right now.
What if it ends up being more like the Christian apocalypse where there's a kind of rapture? How would that affect the video game industry?
Man, I'm ready for that.
Sure.
Well, then all the games would be evil at that point because there'd be no like real Christians left.
Right.
Yeah. So,
how would that affect games though? That all the non-sinners
it would be evil. They would be evil.
Okay, so I think if all the Christians are gone, there are going to be no more games about war.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Snap.
Wow.
Oh man, that's pretty.
Sticking
good.
It to Christians.
What about that's those other religions? Come on. There's more.
Yeah,
than
those
one.
Guys suck too.
A lot of religions have war in them, man.
I know. It's true.
So I was going to say that I think I've shared this this anecdote in real life before, but not on the podcast. I've told this to Frank and Brandon. But somebody that's at like E3 was like coming up to me, and they're like, man, I just, did you know that ziggurats were where human sacrifices occurred in the ancient Mayan culture, like, and your game Ziggurat has a ziggurat, and there's a person at the top, and death is the end of the game. So it's kind of like a human sacrifice. Did you
done that by accident somehow?
Did you? Like the presumption was that it was that on accident, and then it's like
that's pretty funny.
You know, but just letting me know that if it had been on purpose, it would be pretty cool. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I guess it was pretty cool then.
Thanks I'm for like, telling yeah, me about guess, it, bro.
Thanks for letting me know. And it's like, did you realize that also the game came out in 2012? Which is like, I'm like, yeah, there's not a whole lot of coincidence in that. Because Ziggurat is a game about the Mayan apocalypse. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Next, to make a game about the Mayan Acropolis.
The Mayan Acropolis.
Yeah.
The Mayan Popcornocalypse.
Yeah. Do you guys want to come over and watch Apocalypto on the on the eve of the Mayan Apocalypse?
Yes.
Oh boy,
I love that movie.
That's definitely one of the best movies ever made. I was telling somebody the other day that
probably true.
Not thinking about who an actor is. And or like a famous person is in real life allows you to appreciate their art a lot more.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So like
definitely
not caring about Mel being able to separate Mel Gibson from Apocalypto is really cool. Just mm-hmm. having that particular psychological makeup is a pretty fun thing. I want to play a video game that's like Apocalypto.
Yeah. How would it be like Apocalypto?
Have you seen Apocalypto?
No.
Oh my God!
Get on it.
See Apocalypto.
Is it on Netflix?
No, it's not on.
And it doesn't exist.
Then how the heck am I going to see it?
Well, the game would be very, very consequence heavy, I would say, and it would be pretty brutal, but not in the way that God of War is brutal. It would be brutal in the way that when things happen, you feel like sick about it.
And it would also be very, very straightforward, direct, very focused.
No nonsense.
Kind of a rail shooter at heart. Like imagine if Out of This World were an FPS. That would be a game like Apocalypto.
Oh.
What about a braille shooter? I would play that.
A braille shooter? Man, yeah. we're making a game that is an FPS that is playable by blind people. So it is pretty much a braille shooter.
You got a braille shooter.
I'm like, cool. I'm not even joking about that. That's the game is called Ziggurat.
Yeah,
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Now, what if you made a game about a Mayan guy in Apocalypse, the place in the DC Comics universe where Darkseid comes from?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like I would play that at the end of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes and takes out Darkseid with his Mayan traditions and, sure. and magic.
Hearing stop him from getting the anti-life equation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, team up with Orion and the Forever People.
You're getting a little too obscure for me now here.
I only know it as that Jack Kirby looking place with the
something about Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, he's probably in
he's got red hair.
Yeah.
In short, I just want to say that Apocalypto is a cool movie. I think that's the summary here.
Okay, yeah. We answered the question then.
Is that a good summary? Apocalypto is a cool movie.
Did you guys know that Darkseid's first appearance was in a Jimmy Olsen comic?
No.
Well, probably not.
Okay. Jimmy Olsen, man, isn't he the? Let's not get into that.
Good old Jimothy.
Jimothy.
Has there ever been a mini game better than the game it was in?
Oh heck yeah.
Yes, I'm trying to think of a good example. During the PlayStation era, there were a bunch of Namco games that had Galaga as their mini game loading screen.
Mm-hmm.
And Galaga is pretty much better than most of those games it was a minigame in, so.
Yeah.
What about Ridge Racer Revolution?
Ridge Racer!
What was the minigame load in that? Was it Galaga?
I think it was Rally X.
That might make sense. I feel like they would switch it up, though.
Is it Galaga or Galaga?
It's Galaga because it's a sequel to Galaxian.
I think it's Galaga.
Is it Galaga?
Glaglagla.
I think it's Galigula.
Galigalaga.
Galigula's palace.
Galigula. Did you guys hear? I said Galigula. That should be the this podcast episode.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it Galigula.
In Singapore, there's this dude that really wanted to name his cafe Hannibal. After, you know, like the Roman guy or whatever.
Yeah. Not Hannibal.
Cannibal, but his friend warned him against it because he's like, man, you know, people are not going to want to go to a place called Hannibal because mostly now they think of Hannibal the Cannibal. He opened it up. I'm just going to finish this. He opened it up with the name Hannibal and nobody came for an entire week, so he renamed it Caligula.
Really?
Yep.
And then did people show up?
A little more.
Man, have you guys ever seen the movie Caligula? It's hilarious. So I was going to say that, did you know that David Mamet wrote the screenplay for the film Hannibal, based on the book Hannibal? And David Mamet is another example of me being glad that I can separate a person's politics from their work.
Are those movies on Netflix?
What, Hannibal?
Yeah, Hannibal and Caligula.
Don't watch Hannibal. Hannibal's terrible. Caligula is probably not on Netflix.
Well, then, never mind. Minigames.
It's
mini
also
games,
not a very
people.
Good movie.
Mini games.
Oh, right.
Mini games. Let's talk about those. Galigula.
That's not a mini game.
Mini games are better than WarioWare is.
I would say that nothing about WarioWare is redeemable whatsoever.
Really? WarioWare.
WarioWare is about as much fun as rooting around in the neighbor's garbage.
Really?
That's a little fun.
Yeah, I know. I know it is a little fun.
Yeah.
It's still it's
any
it's
games, like, people. Come on.
No,
okay,
here's one.
Here's one. I got one. On the Dreamcast, there was that visual novel game Kitae, which was a visual novel and
I don't think that counts. That's not a video game.
Okay, fair enough. But it had a shooting mini game in it that was more fun. And also Tokimeki Memorial for the PC Engine has a shooter in it that's also nice. So there you go.
I think that the fishing minigame in Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is really good, but not nearly as good as the game, unfortunately.
So let's see.
That's that. And I also think that, what do you call it? I also think that WarioWare is about as much fun as rooting around in the neighbor's trash.
All right.
Yeah, that's a thing you said already.
Looking for their phone bill. Just trying to find the neighbor's phone bill and see who they called.
Right now I'm thinking about mostly game modes, not minigames. That's the trouble. Like I'm flipping through these things in my brain and most
one might say one might say Horde mode is better than Gears of War.
Yes. That is true.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who say that.
It's kind of undisputable.
It's definitely a mode.
Is a minigame still a minigame if it is a mode? Can a mode be a minigame though? Because it uses similar rules, but not like not exactly the same rules.
There are sort of like emergent, I made them up, mini games that are better than boring games that I was trying to play.
Such as?
God, what was that action game that came out like 2 years ago? You were a guy and sometimes you were his dog?
John Woo Stranglehold.
No. Frank, I remember. It was Doctor Wright's Dogtribution.
Yeah, Doctor Wright's Dogtribution, yeah. What was really fun about that game was that if you threw anyone onto a piece of furniture,
they died.
They would lay there for a second and then they would jerk and die.
Yeah.
So making a game out of killing everyone in the game with furniture was way more fun than actually playing the game.
All right. And also just being a dog and barking was fun.
Oh yeah, you could be a dog and bark and there was a bite crotch button, but that was a normal game though.
Stranglehold had those crotch shots though.
Yeah. Dog to rights.
Where you can shoot a guy in the crotch and his hands cup over his genitals and he shrieks. Did you guys ever play that Stranglehold? That game had a bunch of good little things in it.
Very briefly.
It had a bunch of these modes that cut in, right? Like there's, but I wouldn't call them mini games, but they feel, they're mini games that have been integrated so seamlessly into the game and use the game's rules and controls. The fire button is the fire button, but there'll be like a standoff where you've got like six guys in front of you and they're like, we're going to kill you unless you give us the money. But then it's like it slows down and you have to shoot all six of them in like super slow motion before they can shoot you. And it's like kind of a mini game level of intrusion. It's like, this isn't the regular game. It's not a cutscene.
I'm going to throw in something that was said in comments really quick. The Brownie Brown made RPG mode in that Professor Layton game.
Okay.
That's like a macro game though.
Yeah. That's like bigger than the game it was in.
Heck yeah.
This is our final question before the lightning round.
All right.
Redesign Minesweeper as an RPG in the style of Tetsuya Nomura.
I have no idea what that is.
Tetsuya Nomura is the character designer of the Final Fantasy games.
Okay, so it's an RPG in his style?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it would have a much more compelling battle system than Kingdom Hearts, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you'd just be kind of, you'd be clicking on stuff.
Right. Okay, so if it's in the style of Nomura, then so you star as a 13-year-old boy who hates his life and wants to die.
Okay.
And then he meets a girl who's really chipper and upbeat and wants things to be okay. And he's just like, why won't you just leave me alone? And she's like, no, we have to sweep these mines because saving the universe. He's like, I don't care about that.
I just want my hair to look nice. I think you're confusing Tetsuya Nomura for Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII is a... Well, wait, maybe there's a... No. What, The World Ends With You game?
He made God Darn Twelly, and that was like his magnum opus, that guy.
Nah, Kingdom Hearts 2 was his magnum opus.
All right, whatever.
Kingdom Hearts 2 begins with a 13-year-old boy eating an ice cream bar and complaining that, like wondering aloud to his friends, what if this summer doesn't last forever?
Yeah. Like,
so it's much more wistful than hateful.
Well, that Twelly was angsty. Definitely hate oriented, but
I don't know. I played it in Japanese and I did not see any hate so much as
I played it in regular and there was a lot of hate in it.
The regular language?
Regular language, yeah.
I'll tell you this. I don't think any of Nomura's characters have a mustache, so he has yet to write his magnum PI.
Hey, nice. All right. I'll accept
nice.
That.
Nice.
I'm going to give that one an 8-.
All right.
Magnum Popus.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of finding mines, you're finding like something in your long, beautiful hair. Like,
maybe it's called Mind Sweeper, and you're finding minds. You're diving into the mental state of a variety of
maybe it's
characters.
Called.
I already made that. It's called Psychonauts.
No. Maybe it's called.
Also, Alundra.
Maybe it's called Mind Sweeper.
Yeah.
No.
What do you think
and
of
it's
that?
About the apocalypse
in people's brains, and every level is a pyramid, which that solves their. The level design problems that they've had in every game that he's ever worked on.
It would be a pretty cool Minesweeper game. I tell you what, if you had a curling game where instead of the curling thingy you had mines.
Yeah.
And so
you're sweeping the mines.
You're
literally.
Sweeping the mines, literally. Yeah. And then, but you know, if you let it go too far, it'll just friggin' explode and everyone.
You guys aren't getting into the real spirit of Minesweeper, and that's clicking on numbers and putting in flags.
Yeah,
so are you talking about designing Final Fantasy? Because that's what that sounds like. Sounds like making Final Fantasy. You just click on numbers and put in flags, and then you're like, oh yeah, I just made it. I made made me Final
and
Fantasy.
If only you could put numbers and flags in instead of just letting them supply them.
Indeed.
I think if you made it, I think a Kingdom Hearts FPS is what you have to do for Minesweeper.
Really?
Which,
how would that work?
Disney will never allow it.
It'd be like, well, no, I mean, it would have the thing is, they've made so many superfluous characters in Kingdom Hearts now that they don't need the Disney or the Final Fantasy. None of the characters they've made are appealing.
I mean, my experience with the Kingdom Hearts fan base is they kind of wade through the Disney stuff waiting for the original characters to show up again.
Well, there's Mickey again.
Yeah.
Really? I feel like they like that stuff.
Oh, some they do, but to a point. It's like they like that, but they like seeing Organization 13 and Zehanort a lot more.
I don't know. Do you mean you? Because I don't know if you speak for everyone there.
I don't think I don't know, man. Have you ever went to GameFAQs? When I wrote up...
Darren went there.
Kingdom Hearts 2... on the forums for the insert credit, I got a whole bunch of hateful haters from the GameFAQs Kingdom Hearts board just screaming at me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was a funny thread. And then I went to the GameFAQs board that all these people were coming from, and they seemed to care a lot about the original characters, a lot more than the Disney or the Final Fantasy characters combined.
Well, all right.
So
now, is one trademark of this guy that sort of common complaint about Final Fantasy 13 that it's just walking through a hallway?
Of what? Of Kingdom Hearts?
This guy that's making our Minesweeper game.
Oh, no. Okay. His complaints are... my complaint about his games is you just hammer the button over and over again, and instead of like attacking like a decent person, your character instead flips and flies around and... does a whole lot of sort of in-air somersaulting.
It's all cinematic.
Yeah, cinematic in like a really not great way.
Because I think you should team up with Suda and make Nomura Heroes. Yeah.
I think the answer is Mind Sweeper, where it's just you have to sweep the mines, and but it's in a giant pyramid, and you go inside of people's brains to sweep mines in... nightmares that portend the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah, just combine all the stuff.
Sure. And so you shoot enemies, and either they die or they explode, and you can't blow up yourself.
And you can't blow up.
Yeah, you can't blow yourself up. Then you die.
And upon that death, it's time for us to transition to the lightning round.
Well, let's round up the lightnings.
Let's light the rounds.
This week, we're going to have a sacred cow barbecue. I'm going to give you the name of an almost universally beloved video game, and you have to tell me why it's the worst game ever made.
Oh, my.
That should be easy.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right, let's
start with Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, terrible level design. I mean, it's just flat. Like, what, you just go left to right and then jump on things?
And then there's the guy's pictures in the official art. He's like wearing red and blue, but in the game it's like brown and dark brown.
You know, what is that? That's ridiculous.
Get the colors right.
It's also very racist. It's racist against Italians.
Very, very linear game. I mean, and it only lasts, what, like a couple hours? This is, like, I want my money back.
Yeah, Halo, and it costs
Combat
70 bucks.
Evolved. Halo Combat Evolved.
Too many Doritos.
Yep.
Too much Mountain Dew.
I don't know about the Doritos. And Halo didn't have Doritos. Halo 3 had Doritos. Wait.
Tim, I'm Halo. Aware of that.
Halo, aware of that. No, I was trying to think of something that was going to be funny.
Okay.
I was going to be
instead.
Like, I mean, like, come on. These aren't, like those guns could exist in real life. Those, like, magic
guns.
That's
too unrealistic.
Aliens aren't real, guys. I don't know
the graphics weren't real. They weren't
talk about Combat Devolved. Like, it's not even realistic.
There was no profanity in Halo 2, by the way. Like, what's the deal with that? Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
I don't know. First of all, there's no like, guns.
Yeah, you don't shoot any time.
The Super Nintendo doesn't have triggers on the controller. It has shoulder buttons.
Right.
Look, if I wanted to watch an anime, I would go work on my fan-subbing project.
That's right.
Tetris.
If I wanted to watch an anime, I'd kill myself.
Tetris!
Tetris physics are terrible.
Communist propaganda.
The physics are awful. There's only, what, like... There's very few shapes.
Three songs?
Yeah, the storyline is so vague, too. I mean, you play one version of it, and I guess you're, like, building something in Russia, and then you play another one, and there's, like, no story at all. I don't know
if there's an ending to Tetris.
I don't know either. Like, who would know? Like, who?
And also, it's like...
I fell asleep before I got to the ending.
And the Game Boy one, it's not even in color.
Commies.
Commies. Earthbound.
Earthbound?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many dragons are in that game? There's, like, what? None?
Yeah, you can't, like, kill townspeople.
I'm gonna tell you what, the graphics sucked even for the time. What do they got? It's like...
It's like crayons or something. Yeah,
not even 16-bit, it's like 12-bit.
That's real.
I think it was at least, like, 12.5, to be fair.
Still not good enough.
Still not good enough.
To be fair, it was garbage, yeah.
There's no Mayan apocalypse in that game.
No.
Super Metroid.
More like Pooper Metroid.
I mean, like, why do I have to, like, figure out where to go? It's ridiculous. Like, a good level design should just tell me at all times where I need to be going. I should never be confused or have to backtrack. I mean, backtracking, really, in this day and age? Come on.
Right, whereas Super Mario Brothers is too linear. This is not linear enough.
Right,
I would say.
Where's our Metroid rail shooter?
That's right.
Like, I would rather just kind of... Also, why do you gotta call it Super? Why couldn't it just be, like, Metroid 3?
Also, you play as a lady? That's gross.
That is really, really gross. Mm-hmm. And you don't even really know... You might not even know she's a lady.
I can't name one reason why I want to play as a lady.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a dude. I don't want to be a lady. But just, you know. Mega Man 2.
Terrible music.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't even do that one.
That's foolery. Mega Man 2. I actually, in seriousness, just don't really like any of the Mega Man games anymore. I tried going back and thinking about them.
I don't think they're very fun to play. But
for Mega Man 2, no Mega Buster.
I felt like I was
through. Can't slide. Like, what's a Mega Man game without sliding?
And the goddamn guy can't duck. Super Mario can duck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he can't shoot up. Like, he can't point his friggin' arm up and shoot. Come on.
Yeah, that's
Half-Life 2.
Game-breaking. Half-Life 2? Well, you know what's so terrible about that game? It makes me sick that that Half-Life 3 is not out yet. That's what it is. Like, how long is it going to take them to make that game?
So Half-Life 3, the wait for Half-Life 3 has been so long that it retroactively makes Half-Life 2 a bad game.
Yes.
According to the people of the internet whose opinions I'm voicing, those are not my opinions.
Gravity guns also are not realistic.
Katamari Damashi.
Katamari, first of all, there's like a part where you're rolling it around and there's like 9 telephones arranged in like a circle.
Who has that many phones?
And you like, where in the real world will you see 9 rotary dial telephones just
and not only that,
in the grass?
If you roll a ball that's got, like, you know, the Empire State Building and Staten Island and, like, elephants on it, you roll it over a guy, like, he's not going to die, really?
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to get stuck to it?
Speaking of the guys, they all look like rectangles.
They do. Yeah, they sure do.
Portal.
Yeah, there's a lot of the rectangles. Portal. I don't understand how that gun works. How is that a real thing? What, you know, what the heck?
That lady has funny legs. Don't let
her know this.
She's got weird legs.
Weird leg lady.
Yeah, weird legs.
If I am going to play as a lady in a game, which I'm already not happy about, she should at least have not weird legs.
Give her normal legs, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, normal legs, yeah. The old normal ones. Really normal ones.
Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Sucks.
Right. the game is just obsessed from the title. It's obsessed with the past.
Okay.
Right? Can't we look forward to the future?
Think about this. That game's the acronym for that game is LTTP, late to the party. All right.
Ocarina of Time is out of touch.
Yeah.
OOT. I mean, come on, people. Right.
Yep.
How god darn serious do we got to get about that?
Yeah.
Finally, Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus, yeah.
I mean, for a game with Shadow in the title, the actual Shadow rendering was laughable.
Not like Shadow the Hedgehog.
Right.
It was, yeah, Shadow the Hedgehog, you knew what you're getting into.
Now that's a Shadow. The Shadow you can set your watch to.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's, like, there's no grunts in the game, you know? It's like they didn't have, what, time to put in other guys to fight? Like, you only fight the big guys?
Yeah.
You
gotta ride a horse. Horses are lame. Give me a car, alright?
Give me a car.
So, that's the end of our lightning round. I think I've tallied up all the cogent arguments that you've made throughout this segment.
Hurry
and
up.
I'm gonna give this one to Frank.
Yeah! Yeah!
Congratulations, Caligula. Frank. Congratulations, Frank. You are this week's Caligula of insert credit.
Caligula.
Good old Caligula.
Here's some exciting news for our listeners. Between now and Christmas, we're going to be collecting your nominations for the 2012 Game of the Year. This all leads up to a special segment on our end of the year podcast, where we'll be discussing your choices and reveal which game was the most popular choice among our listeners. If you're listening to this through the live stream, thanks for joining us. Remember to stay in the loop with us through Facebook at facebook.com/ICpodcast. Right now, our scheduled weekly recording time is Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, but sometimes we change that up. So join the Facebook group, make sure you don't miss the date, and we'll see you next week. Those of you who are watching this live, stay tuned as we will be discussing the questions you've been asking us in the live chat. I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Frank Spaulding.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Brandon Sheffield.
And this is podcasting.
Podcast over, yeah!